You and kids seem like such a great natural combination.
Look, I mean, I was a kid when I started, and you know, it's basically the same now. I have gray hair and bad knees, but otherwise, you don't really have to grow up. I mean, immaturity can be a permanent condition. Look, I just think it's so important that we are not the high priests of this art form, that we are evangelists and that we go out and tell people that everybody needs this. And there was always something weird in music education, that if you were going to teach someone to play football, you'd give them a ball. You know, tennis, you'd give them a racket. But music, you'd say, listen to this. And we just seem to be missing the point that actually kids have to play. They have to do it themselves. You know, it's not, music is not a virtual activity. And so, this is why something like the Big Youth Orchestra movement, which is in Venezuela, where there are now more than 500,000 kids involved in music, more than are involved in organized sports, why that's so inspiring.
Does it also tap into the idea, your idea of what music is? I've always gotten such a sense of fun from you, but I don't mean fun in not a serious way. There's a sense of play in music.
Music is about many things. It tells many stories. But I think the biggest impulse is joy. It's not always joyful, but it comes from a deep wellspring of joy. And I believe with every bit of my being that this is for everybody. This is not an elite art form. And the danger is that it becomes some kind of luxury item or some kind of status symbol. And everybody should at least have the chance to hear it, because it enriches people's lives so extraordinarily.
You played the drums and you played piano and you, I guess you played other instruments.
I was a really terrible violinist as well.
So how and why did you get into conducting?
Well, there was really one occasion. It was the Mahler Second Symphony when I was about 10 or 11. And hearing that for the first time, and I still think that performance is tattooed on my DNA somewhere. I will never forget it as long as I live. And I know that at that moment I thought, no, I want to be in the middle of this. I don't just want to be a drummer. I want to be whatever it is in the middle of that. But who knows? I mean, it is one of the most addictive things you can do in the world. I mean, I know you gain another insight into the music. You have to. You're not just dealing with, well, how is it going to sound? How am I going to do it? You're dealing with the whole structure, the whole building, and the whole story. And you're somehow in the middle of all this energy. You're not making it happen, but an enormous amount of the energy from the composer and the musicians is channeled through you. And the job is to enable people to give their best and see whether you can really tell the story in that way. But it's one of the great jobs in the world. I mean, maybe it's one of the great fake professions, because you don't make your own sound. But without the musicians, I'm just a rather irritating piece of dust. But with the musicians, you can do something.
It's like having a giant instrument.
It is, except you don't play it. You affect it. And you have to try and create the possibilities where it can do its best. And for me, it's more and more important for the players to be able to express what they need to express, not to obey. It's actually very necessary that they play it as a huge piece of chamber music and take that opportunity. And it's another way of thinking. It's not a particularly American way of thinking. It's a very European way of thinking.
I think you just answered my next question, which was, sometimes you'll stand still. And what are you doing?
I'm listening and I'm looking at people. And I'm trying to persuade them to take it on themselves. It should be a different story every time. What people who aren't involved every day in music don't realize is that there are hundreds of different ways to approach a Brahms symphony. And there are countless ways of phrasing in every bar. I want the mass energy of all these fantastic musicians. I don't want them just to reflect what maybe I have in mind, because that's one person's idea. The energy of more people working as a team is so important.
So when you have this ensemble of 100 plus musicians, are you connecting with them individually or by sections or?
Yes. That's really, as you can hear, it's a hard question to answer. It was never difficult with this orchestra. Sometimes there is a weird thing between conductors and orchestra. There was always the easiest group to come to. And we just made a connection all immediately. And it's funny, it's really, and that's really lasted. God knows why, but that's what it is. And it's so funny because often you don't know the superficial things about people in an orchestra, particularly if you're not with them every day. But often you know very profound things about the people and what kind of person they are. But sometimes you don't know their names, let alone you haven't been through the first thing of getting to know someone, except very often we are showing the most vulnerable and emotional parts of ourselves on stage. So you try to key into that.
You grew up being exposed to a lot of 20th century composers. Are some composers more natural to conduct and other composers take you different places as a conductor?
Oh, look, I think, everybody has composers that they feel immediately at home with. I mean, of course, I was a drummer. So, to be quite honest, I had to be involved in 20th century music, because before it, there was almost nothing written for us. But I was involved in all kinds of music because I was a harpsichord player. I was very involved in Baroque music, and it would be not much use being involved in 20th century music either. But it's funny. I mean, for instance, Haydn was always a complete passion of mine, and it seemed to be one of the easiest things to get into. Mozart and Beethoven were much harder for me. Haydn was like, I was like kind of falling off a log. It was as though he was speaking directly, and I don't know why, because a lot of conductors find that very difficult. I mean, that great old late lamented conductor, Sir Charles Mackerras, the Australian, he said to me, "Oh, Simon, it's so funny. Conductors, they often do divide into two groups, and I'm a Handel and Mozart man, but I look at you and I know, oh, you're the other group. You're the Haydn and Bach man." And it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And people who are involved in that area of music, we tend to divide. We tend to divide into that. In the second part of my life, I find myself so close to Schumann, whereas I never was as a kid. I knew that Schumann becomes more and more important to me. You never know what this is. But so I never divided music into 20th century or 19th century. It's all so close.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.